Mackenzie Hughes wins it this year. He's now won a couple of times on tour. Did so in a playoff against your boy, Sepp Straka.
No. I'm going to ask Mac first question out of the gate. Bring him in. I want to ask.
All right, here he is. Mackenzie Hughes back on Overdrive. What's happening, Mackenzie? How you feeling a day after a big win?
Hey, boys. Feeling great. A little tired. Late night last night, but it feels quite good. I'm still kind of soaking it all in and digesting it all, but two-time winner sounds pretty good, but we'll be working on that tally this year.
Mac, we got to ask you, we have a thing on this show where we do not support Squares golf shoes, and you were in a playoff with a guy wearing Squares. Did you say to yourself, I might like this guy, he might be a good guy, but I am not losing a PGA Tour playoff to a guy in Squares?
I'm telling you, drop this guy.
Can't happen to me. That cannot.
Oh, that was such a good setup. But I honestly wonder if he's like, is he affiliated with Squares maybe? If we just don't know it.
Can you imagine if like anybody chirps Squares, you hang up? That's a mandate.
Is it possible that he was wearing them? I don't think so.
No, dude.
He's a ping guy, title his ball. I didn't catch his shoes,
Mac,
though.
We were talking about the Squares shoes. Did you say to yourself in the playoff, I'm not losing to a guy with Squares shoes?
You know, I actually didn't think about that, but that's a fair point. That would have been tough to swallow. Just him and Nick Faldo, the only guys. But I actually have a huge amount of respect for Sepp. All jokes aside, he's been playing awesome, and he's really good. So to get the W against him in the playoff was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool, and you had to grind in order to get to the playoff, right? Like your approach on, because of where you were off the tee on 18, the 72nd hole. I think you strategically played it to the back of the green there. You got yourself a drop. You two-putt from what felt like a mile away to push the playoff. And then in the first playoff hole, you get up and down out of the sand for a par save to push it to a second playoff hole. Which one was more difficult? Which par was more difficult, the 72nd hole or the first playoff hole?
I think the final hole in regulation was probably harder. Only because there's some finality to it. You feel like, you know, you're trying to force the playoff, you know, Sepp's done. So that to me was a bit more difficult. And plus, I think, you know, a 100-foot putt is probably more uncommon than a bunker shot like I had on the first playoff hole. So I think that just being that it was a little bit different, a little bit of an awkward length putt, and it was to force the playoff, I'm going to go with the putt in regulation. It was really, really fast, and it was a long way away. So to get it, I mean, dead weight, hole high, three and a half feet was, far exceeding the expectations for sure.
Mac, I don't think you're attempting to go full Bryson with your driver, but it looks like you're trying to put a little extra juice on it. And I love seeing it. Is that something that's been going on or working on? Because, I mean, I'm just an amateur player, but 10 yards, 15 yards, it's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I started with a trainer a couple of years ago during COVID, and have followed the workouts fairly consistently for the last couple of years. You know, pride myself on being pretty consistent there, but I've been kind of on and off with the speed training, and the last 2 months I kind of recommitted to the speed training side of things, and there's a big emphasis there for me to hit the ball further. I mean, I hit the ball far enough for sure, but I just thought it was kind of low-hanging fruit and something I could do quite easily if I just put my mind to it and put the work in. So I would love to kind of get my ball speed around 180, low 180s at some point this season. You know, when I hit my drivers on the range, you know, full out and go hard at them, that's kind of where I'm at. So,
well, how far does it go when you go full at one right now?
I would say it carries 310 to 315. So, you know, that obviously on a lot of golf courses carries a lot of bunkers, and Yeah. So
that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll work.
That'll work.
With Mackenzie Hughes, who wrapped up his second PGA Tour victory yesterday at the Sanderson Farms Championship in a playoff. The nature of the playoff meant, because you were in the last group, you played 18, you go right back to 18, then you go right back to 18 again with the second playoff hole, and then I believe you guys were going to go to 10. But it looked like it was getting dark. I saw on the telecast, like Steve Sands was pointing out, like you guys maybe had like 20, 25 minutes left of sun. And I think the same thing happened to you, didn't it, with your first victory where you had to come back the next day and win it on a Monday? Were you thinking that? Like, man, I got to close this. Like, I do not want to be down here and have to come out and play again on Monday morning.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously when you're in a playoff like that too, you kind of think to yourself, you're not going to get many better opportunities than this. You know, I had 8 feet. It was dead straight. So, you know, that was my time to capitalize. And you just never want to go an extra hole because, I mean, like in Sepp's case, I mean, I got to go an extra hole and, you know, I was able to get the job done there. So, in my first win, actually, I had a putt kind of like that right as darkness was setting in, and it was, I mean, it was definitely going to be the last hole at that point. And I had about 10 feet from the wind and just burned the edge and missed, and we had to come back the next morning. So it was kind of nice to be able to do it on Sunday evening and not have to come back the next day. So.
Right. What was it like sleeping that night? Take us back to that victory where you missed the opportunity with the 10-footer. And, you got it done the next day, but you must have been, like, agonizing over that putt.
Yeah, no, it was definitely some tossing and turning, thinking about that putt. But then, I think I was able to kind of reset, just knowing that I was going to wake up the next morning with a chance to win a PGA Tour event still. And, you know, if you had told me that at the beginning of the week, I would have said that was a dream scenario. So, I was able to kind of reset. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you guys both know, or you guys all know, because you've played at, you know, you've played golf, and it's just such a, you know, psychological battle all the time, and especially when you're playing on the PGA Tour trying to win and win in playoffs. So kind of keeping up, keeping your mind straight, keeping your mind right, that's, you know, more than half the battle.
So saying all that, how are you feeling the last three or four holes? Because you had some greasy chip shots that looked like difficult up and downs, and you were making them every time, and you kept it together. Like, that's got to be kind of a belief in what you're doing to hold it together under those critical times.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, for me anyways, I find that, like, when I get around the lead, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of in my element, if you will. I feel like that's kind of where I'm comfortable. I love that moment. So for me, I even though I'll admit I haven't been there as much as I would like to be, when I am there, I tend to relish those moments and like playing in front of the crowds and doing that late on Sundays. So, it was definitely some nervy moments, but I kept reminding myself that, you know, obviously I kept saying, hey, you're really, really good, and you know, just believe in yourself. And the other thing I kept reminding myself too was that, you know, this is why I practice and play, you know, all those long hours when I'm home and when I was younger, was, you know, for these moments. You know, I wanted to have chances to win PGA Tour events and defeat the best players in the world. And so there was never any part of me that was, you know, scared of the moment or didn't want to be there. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, I can't wait to get back there again soon.
We chatted with Mackenzie Hughes, who won the PGA Tour this past weekend down in Jackson, Mississippi. So with the final wraparound season, I guess, you know, you've got a great head start on the FedEx. You picked up a ton of world golf rankings this past weekend, but I'm curious about how you set your goals for a season like this. Are you focused on majors? Are you focused on the FedEx? Like, what do you, how do you map out, you know, the next 10 months or so?
To be honest, my main goal is really just winning. It doesn't matter what I'm playing in, whether it's the Masters or, you know, the RSM Classic later this year, whatever I'm playing in, my goal is really just to try to win more. I feel like my game is actually in a pretty nice spot, and I feel like I'm working on a lot of great things, and The goal was to just keep putting myself there more and see if I can start knocking off a few more. And, you know, obviously with winning, you know, your expectations change and whatnot. So you have to manage those as well, because I know I'm not going to go out there and win every tournament this season, but I do have the belief that my game is good enough to win any event I play in. That's just, you know, continuing to put my head down and work hard. And but, you know, the next progression, obviously, is, you know, you win regular PGA Tour events, and then you hopefully, you know, start picking off a major or two here or there. And that's my ultimate goal, is to one day be a major champion. And, you know, I know I, you know, might get looks for that, but I definitely believe it's possible, and I'll work really hard to get there.
For sure. Well, we're all pulling for you up here with Mackenzie Hughes. I'm always curious, like, how pro athletes or pro players look back on a round, because, oh, I think you and I are the same. I could detail every shot I just took, whether I played a good round or a bad round. Could you detail almost every shot, every conversation you had with your caddy throughout the whole, like, 74-hole process this past weekend? Are you capable of doing that, and do you do that after almost every tournament?
I don't know if I necessarily go through, you know, after every tournament, go through every shot, but I definitely could take you through every shot I hit, and those conversations and what numbers I had, almost within a yard every time. I doubt I would miss many yardages or club selections or what type of shot I hit, and yeah, all of that. I could definitely, you know, that would be not hard at all. That's kind of the way my mind works, but if my wife told me to go to the store and get bananas, I might come back with apples. So,
right.
That's just a glimpse into my mind a little bit. Is I have an odd memory for things like that, and, you know, sports stats, and, you know, who won the 1992 U.S. Open. But, you know, again, something really basic and ordinary, like go get this, you know, I could definitely mess that up.
I met your caddy at the Canadian Open. He seems like a great dude. He also seems like someone who would have had at least 50 beers last night. Is that correct?
Yes. I actually have not heard whether he's alive or not. So. I should check it. Because he was ready to send it. And I'm sure he had a hell of a time. He's been great. And he's a London boy, so, you know, got a Canadian on the bag, and we've had a great partnership and relationship so far for the last 3 years, and had some really cool moments together. We went to the Olympics together. We've had some great battles trying to win tournaments, and then, you know, to get our first win together, it's really cool. So really happy for him, and he puts in a lot of hard work for us. So it was a really great team win.
Yeah, he's still rocking the Maple Leaf emblem there, too. That was showing up a lot down the stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, funny you have one of those and I don't.
Yeah, well, Jeff the Line was supposed to send me one 2 years ago, but somehow you got yours, Mac. That's nice.
Well, get on Jeff for that. I'm sure he's listening right now. Come on, Jeff.
I will. Believe me, I'll circle back. He'll flush me. The Mets are struggling right now. It's, I don't think he wants to hear from us anyway. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Congrats, Mackenzie. Unbelievable scene, obviously, down in Jackson, Mississippi, and what a way to start the new season. So good luck the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks, boys.
You got it. There he is, Mackenzie Hughes.
Former Hamilton Leaf alumni boy. Just sent in a message to me and said, it would be tough for Hayes to remember the 150 shots he takes around.
I don't think that's the truth, man. Like, the 150 could be the way I'm playing right now. But I remember every detail.
Your game's gone, huh?
It's awful, dude. It's terrible. It's gone. Mentally, I'm just gone.
Have you given up on it? Or, like, where are you at?
I'm still hacking and whacking. I tell myself that every day. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not playing. And then the next day, it's like, yeah, I could maybe slide in 9 or 18 or figure it out. But, listen, it is what it is. You know? Nothing you can do. But it is hilarious because I know I'm guilty of it when you tell, like, other guys you're playing with about different shots. Like, they don't really care.
Dude, there's nothing worse than sitting in the lunchroom and there's four 55-year-old guys going through every shot they took. It's like,
Yeah. And then on seven, I was like, you know what? They're fan. Yeah. I'm going to hit a six iron.
You have no idea, Rick. On seven, I had wind up. I was against the lip, and I pulled. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah.
I know. But I'm guilty of it, too. I'll be the first one to be like, bad lie. It's like, no one cares about your lie. Nobody cares. Nobody else cares that you were in a divot. But I have to let everyone else know, divot, divot. Yeah. Can you believe it? I got screwed. Divot.
The only thing worse, I think, are card players that talk about bad beats.
Right.
That's painful, too.
Right.
Nobody cares that got beat on the river on
no
something
one
like
cares.
That's just, it's...
Oh, I laid this down. So what? Yeah. Like, who exactly. cares? You're playing a million hands over the next 24 hours. Anyway, thanks to Mackenzie Hughes. What a win by him. Sepp Straka, we like it, right? Second place for Sepp and his squares. Shout out. Rick Faldo and Sepp Straka, the only guys who wear a square. Nobody else. Only the two of them.